Yeah,
Welcome,
let's
welcome,
record.
welcome. I'm already recording, man. We just need a semi-formal introduction and we get this shit rolling.
And a high fly ball, center field. He hit it a ton. 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Has the football. Short drop. Lobs one down the sideline for Binns. He's got it! Touchdown! 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 Armand Binns!
See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
Is Bob
oh, yeah!
And caught
yeah!
AJ Green
AJ!
Makes the catch Woo! On the ricochet Hail Mary as a prayer is answered in the end zone by Adriel Jeremiah Green.
And welcome to another episode of Riverfront Radio. It is, who cares what the date is? The Red season is a quarter of the way through. And they, how are they doing? They're
18 and 23.
Yeah.
Big series coming up.
Yeah. Well, it's a chance to make up some ground here in the Central with the Cubs coming to town this week. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to some Reds talk.
Yeah, the Reds are right now they're 18-23. They could be, I mean, they could be right there at 500 if they didn't blow two of the games against the Giants.
Could and they stop it if they didn't blow.
That's true. they blew some games against the Giants. They blew one against the Dodgers. They've had some rough outings where they or not the Dodgers, the Padres, I guess. No, it was the A's. It was the A's. My bad. The A's. They blew one against the A's. So. Where they went, what, 14 innings or whatever it was. Yeah. So they're right there. And it does suck that, I mean, you can always say, oh, well, if we won this game, we won that game. You know, we're right there at 500. But this team actually does feel like they're a couple breaks the right way from being, you know, a 500 team. And they're the only team in the NL Central with a worse than 500 record right now.
Right.
Which is crazy. But
so they're still only, what, like 6.5 back?
Seven and a half, I think, right now, yeah.
I know Witt's not a big stats guy, but if you look on Baseball Reference, there is a it's a calculation called Pythagorean wins losses, where they take in like the
plus
runs
B squared equals C squared.
Pretty much. Yeah. Wins are they take runs scored and then divide it by like runs given up. And if you go by that, the Reds are should be like 24-17.
Yeah,
based on disgusting. You know because they're just outscoring everybody,
and when
some
they
days.
Win, they win big,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's so not worth winning if you can't win big.
Right? We'll just say that's their record then.
Yeah, there's a little asterisk next to it. Yeah, what we should be. I saw a stat somewhere, and I don't know what. I just glanced at it, so I don't have a lot of details. But I don't know what the time frame was, but they did it over a certain time frame. Like the worst records in one-run games, and the Reds were like by far the one of the worst. So, I mean, that tells you that they're right there in a lot of the games, but it also tells you that, you know, they're not good enough to get that little bit extra to give them those wins that some teams are getting. But it is frustrating when you have so many close games because it just gives you that feeling like just one little break here or there, and you know this team could be in much better position. And maybe that's true, but. To see it on paper like that, it's just, it's like, God damn, man. Like, just a little bit more luck, a little, you know, a little bit more, you know, consistency. That's what we talk about all the time is consistency. You know, it's a much different baseball team, I think.
It might be easier to swallow if you just looked at it on your computer screen instead of printing out Baseball Reference.
All right, man, I'm old school.
You like ink on your fingers, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, they, like, and like Jeff said, they got a big series coming up. They got their next six at home. They got three with the Giants, or three with the Cubs, three with the Dodgers. So, I mean, they got the chance to gain ground in the first three games, which, you know, two out of three would be great. I don't know if it's necessarily doable. Luckily, it's hitting a decent spot of the rotation, although the rotation's been great, so it's not really like there's a weak spot, but you got Rourke, Gray, and Castillo, the next three up.
Oh, can we talk about something? I'm going to go back to what Mac said. The announcers have been pronouncing Tanner Rourke's name Roark, and I think I talked with Mac about this on Saturday.
Ruads.
Yeah.
Rosenbagger.
I always thought it was Rourke, but they've been calling him Roark.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's Switch. I don't know. It was one of those deals where they've been calling him that for how long, and all of a sudden they're like you said, it just someone's mom wrote an email. I guess his mom wrote an email like, hey, it's Roark.
It's pronounced Gina.
So. China. I thought it was hot. China.
But Rourke versus Hendricks, that's going to be a fun matchup tonight as you're listening to this, or 3 weeks ago as you listen to this. I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but that's going to be that type of game where you like sit there and you watch the radar gun and you watch the game and you're like, oh, I could hit these guys. I mean, Rourke can hit 90s, but Hendricks isn't really necessarily, he's kind of like a small Bronson Arroyo as far as, you know, the speed and just mixing it up with location and breaking balls and stuff. But that'll be an interesting game to see two guys like that just don't really, they don't have blazing stuff. And that's pretty rare nowadays. Like Castillo, he can almost hit 100. I think he's probably touched 100 a couple times this year. I don't know for sure, but I know he was like, you know, up in the 98, 99 a couple times earlier this year.
Dude, he's been so lights out.
He's so good. So good.
He's still so young. Let me tell you guys a story that happened to me this weekend. So we went to the, we went to the Florence Freedom game Saturday. And when we got there, my brother, you know, I sat down next to my brother. We got there a couple innings late because I had to go to some stupid party, but, but when we got there, my brother was like, Bronson Arroyo is playing tonight. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, it was like the fourth inning. And I was like, is he closing or like what's going on? And Greg was like, no, he's playing guitar after the game. Like they have a stage set up off to the side. Yeah, I was like, what's going on? But yeah, I was so confused when he told me that at first.
Did he play like songs from the JTM commercials?
You know, I didn't together stick again, around. Together for it, again. Believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, probably one of the most electric commercials in all of television.
I missed that commercial.
Yeah. Yeah,
I watch it at least once a week just to... but I don't know. I guess this is a big six game stretch because then they go on the road again. But it feels like the Reds have been on the road forever. Yeah. Like they came back for what, three games or four games over the weekend, and then right back out for six more. So it's nice to have them back for, you know, two series like this. And
they should have won every single game against the Giants.
Yep.
They played, I think they played, what, seven of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have won all of them.
Yep.
And I think they only won half.
Yeah, I think they ended up
4-3. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, half a seven.
but, yeah, one bright spot, and I don't know, it's kind of crazy because it's not that big of a tear, but the way his season started, we're finally starting to see Puig do Puig things. He's been fine in the field and throwing people out and making great catches and stuff. He's still got such monster arm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got hits in four straight games now. He's homered in the last two games, one of them against that dickhead Madison Baumgartner, which, have a dude name if you're going to come at Yasiel. Like, that's, you know, you shouldn't sound like, you know, some 14-year-old girl sneaking Malibu rum from her parents if you're going to be a major league pitcher. But, trying to think if I know any Madisons, I'm gonna piss off, but I don't think so.
Yeah, fuck them.
We're good. But no, they. And I don't know. Like, it just Puig. We've known he's a streaky guy. I mean, he's always been a streaky guy in his career, and he's hitting the ball so hard though. That's the thing that's frustrating. Is he's making loud outs. Like
yeah,
when
he's
he
got
doesn't
that high exit velocity. It's important.
That's right. That's all you need. But and the, I mean the good thing I'll say, and then I'll dish it off to somebody else. But over this 6-game stretch, I think he's got a chance to really right the ship because he's hitting almost 300 at Great American. So yeah. He's hitting like 296 at Great American right now. So he's got three games with the Cubs, and like I said, three more games with the Dodgers. And he always seems to get amped up against those, like the Dodgers and the Giants and stuff, just from the, you know, obviously played for the Dodgers, and he's obviously was a rival with the Giants. So hopefully with this Dodger series coming up, he can kind of, maybe sneak out three or four homers out of the next week or two.
At some point this season, the streaky players are all going to line up and actually be hitting at one point. Yeah. And I mean, Votto is slumping right now, but at some point him, Puig, Suarez, they're all going to line up and they're going to go on like a 10 or 15 game tear where they just, finally get over
softball
the 500
scores.
Hump. Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous.
And then
that'll be the time when
Dietrich will be like 0-45.
Yeah,
and then the pitching will absolutely fall.
Yeah, our starters will just shit the bed.
So I know we were touching on Puig a little bit, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this because I feel like he's kind of in transition now with the hair. So he's got that bright white hair. That's got to be the precursor to some sort of colored hair, correct? Because I feel like he's done that before where he's like dyed it blue when he was with the Dodgers. So is he going to have red hair coming up soon? Because I feel like you don't go that color blonde unless you're planning on, going a color with it. But maybe he just
Suarez has done that before where he's...
So's Gino.
Yeah.
Did Peraza have his dyed too? I saw you yesterday.
I didn't see Peraza.
I thought Peraza had it.
Oh,
his dyed too.
You said Suarez, and I said, yeah, so's Gino.
It looks like it's more,
and I think it's because Puig rocks that high top with the design. Yep. I don't even know how to describe the type of haircut. It's like
I thought
he was
going for like the throwback Ocho Cinco.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Bring a little Ocho back into baseball here. That'd be awesome if he shows up tomorrow night with his bright red hair.
Yeah.
Like Andy Dalton is his MC when he's coming out. He's on the mic. But no, I didn't even really think about that. That would be kind of cool because he did go blue for a while there, I think, when he was in LA. But I don't know. Whatever gets him hitting home runs, I'm fine with.
I just wish you would respect the game.
God. That was so funny that, Madison Baumgartner is like, it took him 7 years to learn how to hit that pitch. It's like, well, and he did. So, and it's not like he didn't know how to hit that pitch. Like I was going to go back and look and see. I know they faced each other a lot being in, San Francisco and LA, but I don't know how many times they actually matched up against each other and how many times that inside fastball got Yasiel Puig out or he, swing and a miss. But I mean, it wasn't even a strike and he just pulverized that thing. But
it looked like he barely hit it and just,
he's one of those guys. That's it. He feels like he's short. He like short arms his swing. Like looks like he's got a fully extended swing where like his arms are extended. Like you almost wonder what he could do if one got out over the plate and he just unleashed on one. But
to me, the Madison Bumgarner complaining like that is a lot like, I'll bring the NBA into this. Like last series, Dame Lillard hit like a game winner, and Paul George was like, "That was a bad shot."
Yeah,
it's like, well, he made it. So,
I didn't even. I mean, I knew that they had that incident at first base a couple years ago, where Puig grounded out and Madison Baumgartner started staring him down and Puig just kind of looked at him like, what are you doing? And Madison Baumgartner lost his mind on him. And I'm sure there was a lot that led up to that, but that's all you really saw in the actual replays of everything. I think it was like 2016 or 17. It's been a couple years, obviously. But I knew there was a history there, but I didn't know that it was still, so much animosity to the point that it would warrant a post-game comment like that from Matty Baumgartner. But which there's like three teams in the NL Central who could possibly trade for him, because the Giants are going to unload him.
Yep.
It'd be hilarious if he ended up with St. Louis, Chicago, or or Minnesota, Milwaukee, and knew it started with an M. But yeah, I don't know. There's does anybody? I've got one more thing before we go to our awards. If anybody has anything else,
go for it.
Here,
I'm not necessarily on board with this because I don't think I don't think he would do it. But there's been a lot of rumblings and a lot of discussion about whether the Reds should give Craig Kimbrel a call to anchor the bullpen because mm-hmm. Iglesias has been hit or miss. He's really struggled a lot this year.
More hit than miss.
More hit, yeah. And, it's a
pitcher joke.
But
it's a whip thing. You wouldn't get it.
But he... Craig Kimbrel was asking for the world when he was at the beginning of his free agency. He was looking for, like, what I have here, like 5 or 6 years for about $100 million is what he was looking for. And he's not really that young, and he's a closer. So mm-hmm. it's one of those deals where, you know, and I don't know, I don't have any facts to back this up, but I feel like closers are either I'm the closer for this team for 30 years, like Mariano Rivera type of guy, or you're like, a journeyman closer where you spend 2 or 3 years here and there and just kind of
Francisco Cordero.
Yeah. Guys like that. So he was asking for a huge contract on the back end of his career and he's dropped it considerably. Now, I think in April in spring training, they were asking, I don't know who his agent is, if he's a Rosenhaus guy or what, they were asking about 3 years between 40 and 50 million. Now we're halfway through May now and there haven't even been any like rumblings like, oh, he might sign with so-and-so or things are getting kind of close. Like you heard a lot with like Harper in the offseason. So I feel like his asking price has to keep coming down if he's not getting any bites on what he's asking for. Yeah. And the Reds have so much payroll flexibility over the next couple of years because so many of their young key players are still on their first contract. And a lot of their key players that are not necessarily quote unquote young, they got really cheap. Like you could probably re-sign or extend someone like Dietrich for about what he's making now. Unless people think they're going to catch lightning in a bottle with him. But you got a lot of guys. I mean, Joey's obviously his money's, you know, figured in already. You got Suarez on a sweetheart deal, got Senzel on his rookie deal. You got Winker on a rookie deal still.
That Suarez like, deal just keeps looking better and better.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, and they've got a lot of guys waiting in the wings to come up. I mean, none of their pitchers are really. I mean, Sonny Gray's got a pretty. If we weren't in a small market, you would look at Sonny Gray's deal and be like, "Oh, that's a bargain." Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he eats up a lot of the payroll with that deal that he signed when he got traded over here. But they've got a lot of flexibility, so if they could get him to maybe do a 2-year deal, you know, I don't know what that would, you know, maybe. You know, 10, 12 a year at 2 years. So 2 years, 25 million type of deal. I think it'd be worth a shot. I don't know mm-hmm. if he'd want to do it because he probably didn't wait this long into the season to play on a last place team. But if, you know, if they start trending upward and it gets closer to June and they're right in the thick of things, it might be something that he and his, representation might be willing to do because it doesn't seem like any of the contenders are really that interested in bringing him on right now, especially for his price tag. So, I mean, but then again, the Reds would be the team that would sign him. And then you have so much rust where he wouldn't be himself until mid August. And it's like, well, shit, like we could have had Iglesias doing this for half of it. So I don't know, just something to think about and maybe keep an eye on. I know I saw it was on the front page of the Reds website today talking about it. I know a couple, I don't know, someone from the Athletic or the, maybe one of the local stations writers were writing about it too. So, but I'm sure every MLB team that has some uncertainty at the closer role has had those articles written about them right now. But
sure, but, I'm the closer now.
Oh man! So,
all right, we have a quarter season of the Reds is completed. I think they're like at 42 games now, so they're just over the quarter mark, and we're going to hand out some quarter season awards for the Reds. I'll throw mine out there first. Just one of them that I have is the guy whose record doesn't reflect his performance. And that goes to Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
Because yes. He is 0-5 but he has, in his like 8 starts, he's only walked 9 batters, which is pretty damn good. He has the second most strikeouts of any pitcher in the rotation, and he's just not getting any run support. He's kind of getting screwed whenever he takes the mound, but his ERA is under 4 right now, and he's 0-5 somehow. I mean, he's been really good for, you know, he's our number 2, number 3 guy in the rotation. And unfortunately, he just hasn't had any run support whenever he walks out there on the mound.
It was looking good for him the other day. And then all of a sudden it just...
He pitched really well.
Yep. Yeah, that sucks. The poor guy. He can't... I feel like that's how... who was it? Was it someone last year? Or was it a couple years ago with Cueto? There was somebody in recent memory where it was like that, where their ERA was, you know, really, really low, and they just... They were losing a lot of like 2-1 games type of deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sucks for Tyler.
0-5 is that's a rough start. Yeah, rough for his 9 starts. I mean, like he's pitched pretty well.
Yeah. And even if luck starts to go his way a little bit, it's going to be a while before he can get, you know, a respectable win loss. And
right.
I know that's not.
He hadn't won a game since like early last year, was it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I believe it because he was down for a little while, but.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Tyler Mahle. But yeah, for a guy that came into the season as our 5th starter, he's been great. Like he's
still young too. I mean, you think he's only 24 or 25, so he's got plenty of room to grow.
Yep, a lot of people project him as a good number three starter, possibly number 2 on certain staffs. So hopefully he keeps building on what he's doing this year and doesn't start, you know, letting that kind of stuff affect him. But I don't know how much guys like that really pay close attention to win loss. I'm sure it does to an extent, but they know what they're doing on the mound. It just can't make the guys hit. So maybe he could start to hit.
There you go. All right, I'll go next. I'll throw out one of my awards. This one is a sponsored award. It's the Vornado Realty Trust Award, and you may find yourself asking, who's the Vornado Realty Trust? They're one of the biggest property owners in New York City, and so this goes to Jesse Winker because of all the real estate he has in Mets fans' heads right now. So congratulations, Jesse, on the award.
Very nice.
I definitely, I think we've talked about already all the back and forth he had with Mets fans during that series, but he definitely got in their heads, and it's the point where they're bombarding his Instagram account with the wave emoji, which it sucks that he disabled comments for a little bit because it did kind of make it seem like they got to him a little bit. But, I think he was in their heads first. So,
That was such a fun series against the Mets, just seeing him do that.
Yep.
Like, who would have expected that series against the Mets at the end of May or end of April, early May? Like, actually be worth watching.
Yeah.
But, all right. My first award, I have the Bobby Cox Award, and this goes to David Bell. Bobby Cox is the career ejections leader amongst MLB managers. He had 161 career ejections, which he was about once every 28 games over his about 4,500 game career. David Bell right now, he's tied for the lead with the White Sox, Rick Renteria. They've each got 3 ejections. Probably could have more, but I feel like he's had a pretty long leash on some of those triads he's had with the umps. But if he stays on this pace, he's getting ejected about every 14 games. So he's doubling up Bobby Cox right now. So at about just under 2,300 games, like 2,253, I rounded up the numbers on you know, so the numbers aren't exact, but around 2,200, 2,300 games is when you could expect David Bell to surpass Bobby Cox as the most ejected manager of all time.
And we'll be able to see that record broken, man. And,
we'll have 4 or 5 world championships by the time that happens.
Yep. I was going to say, hopefully they go on a better run than the Braves did. They win 1 World Series and all that.
Maybe that had something to do with why he was getting ejected so much. He's probably pissed off.
That's right.
Yeah, fuck it.
For my first award, I did hottest in the clubhouse, Derek Dietrich. Guy's just got a good look to him. He's making us laugh. He's just he's what it's all about right now.
He takes that one button down and shows off a little cleavage. Got that chain dangle.
Yeah. I feel like it's a missed opportunity. It doesn't come out to while you're chain hang low, but as his walk up music. But you know, he's pretty hot right now, man. He's killing it.
I mean, he's having fun.
He is having fun. My next award is the worst player on the team whose last name is Duke. And it's Zach Duke.
Ooh, did not see him getting that one.
He's not been great as a reliever. I mean, I think he's getting a little bit better, but his ERA is hovering around 7.
He's had some rough situations.
Yeah, he's not been great, but hopefully he can turn it around before he gets sent down or released. You know, when we bring in Kimbrel.
That's right.
There you go. So my next award is the Best Style Award. And you could, you know, maybe lean towards Dietrich for some of the reasons that Jeff mentioned earlier. But I'm going to give this to Nick Senzel just because one thing that's important to having a real quality style is a lot of variety in your outfits. So you know, if you're repeating the same outfit day after day, it starts to get stale. But Senzel, his first 5 games up here, he wore 5 different uniforms. So that's pretty impressive. You don't see that a lot. I like to see that variety in his wardrobe, and it looks good on him. Yeah. So
he's like an Oregon Duck quarterback.
Exactly.
Good one. My next award was the Grandpa Simpson Award. And this is based off of the gif of Grandpa Simpson walking in, putting his hat on the hat rack, turning around, grabbing his hat, and walking right back out the door. And it goes to Cody Reed.
Ooh.
Because
I thought you were leaning towards Matt Kemp.
Yeah, I was going to say honorable mention Matt Kemp.
Who?
A name that shall not be spoken.
No. But no, Cody Reed was up here for one day. He pitched one game, had two in 1/3 inning, 0 runs. He came up and he came up huge because the bullpen was depleted and they needed him to basically go, you know, just eat innings. And I don't know if he knew that when he came up, but I thought it was kind of interesting that he got called up, especially when he did. But he came up, he pitched great and was optioned back to Louisville the next day. So, that's one of my favorite Simpsons gifts of all time when Bart's working at the burlesque house and Grandpa Simpson comes in and sees him and just walks right back out.
Well, he stops and he's like, "Is your name Bart?"
Yeah.
And then he closes the door behind him. Yep. That's so good.
Yep. Oh, God. Homer Simpson or Grandpa Simpson's so great.
I had mentioned I had been watching The Office a lot lately. So last one's Office theme too. Well, I did before.
He forgets what's
started.
Before.
Yeah. He forgot.
But the kind of a bitch award goes to Rossell Iglesias.
Yeah.
Cuz he's bitching about his usage, but he hasn't been very good. So
we don't use that word bitching. On this podcast.
No.
Quit your bitching. Get back in the bullpen.
Wow. Problematic award goes to Jeff.
my last award that I'm going to hand out is the Oh God, Oh Shit, Oh No award. And that's going to go to Nick Senzel and Jesse Winker when they slid into each other in the outfield. Yeah, I thought the season was over there for a second for one of them. But on the replay, it wasn't as bad as it originally looked. You know, they just kind of barely tapped each other when they went down and were kind of shooken up by it. But, I mean, that's what you get when you got guys playing out of position. I mean, because Senzel isn't a center fielder and he's not used to the position yet. And they haven't played in the outfield together much. So, I mean, once they get into a rhythm, they'll kind of hopefully stop some of the shenanigans out there. But
it was scary. There was a night, I forget which game it was, and I can't remember if it was Peraza or Iglesias. One of them was kind of running out towards the outfield, and Puig was just barreling down on the ball. And I was just like, I might see someone die on a baseball field tonight. Like, I thought for sure someone was going to get killed. And they peeled off at the right time. But I know I watched that play too, Dan, and I literally, like, my heart was in my throat. I'm like, shit. Yeah. Like, this doesn't look good. The way they were both laying there. And then, like you said, once you see the replay, it looked like one of them might have caught a knee to the nuts or something.
I think Senzel hit Winker kind of in square in the nads.
Well, I mean, those things swing down to his knee after that New York series, so it's not hard to do.
So I had one more award to throw out there as well. I don't have a fancy name for it. I just called it the Self-Control Award. This goes to Jesse Winker as well. So as you guys may recall from earlier in the season, he caught that fly ball or that pop-up out in foul territory right in front of the fan holding the plate of nachos, and he actually reached out and then said, no, never mind, I'm not going to have a nacho, and he walked away. So,
it's keto season.
Guess, man. But I don't know. I just I was really impressed by that because I can't open the refrigerator door without taking a handful of shredded cheese. So the fact that I saw him do that and then just, you know, say, no, never mind, I envied him because if I had that kind of self-control, I'd probably be able to fit into my my skinny motivation jeans that are five sizes too small for me right now.
He said that there were too many jalapenos on the nachos for him.
Pussy.
Wearing those white pants, you don't want to shit yourself in left field. It's not like like in Boston with Manny Ramirez when he could just go into the Green Monster to take a dump. That's an awkward. I always wondered that. Like, you're on the road, you're eating weird food. Like, what happens if you're out in the outfield and all of a sudden you start getting bubble guts and you're like, do you fake an injury? Like, oh, I pulled my calf and just go unleash fury on the clubhouse bathroom? Or
is that why they call it the
Green
Monster?
Do I stay in the outfield or do I go buy pajama pants?
There you go. You call it the Green Monster. Yeah.
Is it just stacked porta potties back there?
It is. They just, yeah. It's like a, it's
it
like
might
a,
smell like that, but that's just the Boston fans.
Whoa. What did Boston fans ever do to you?
Oh, fuck them.
I thought we were a pro-Boston fan podcast.
We're not a pro-Boston anything podcast.
Well, all right, I've got one more. If you guys, does anyone else have any more? I've got two more, so should I just go back to back here?
Mr. Overachiever. Right. What about
Jeff?
Jeff,
don't
you have a third one?
Mine was best heel turn, Jesse Winker.
Go watch another episode of The Office real quick.
Yeah.
All right. We've got... Give me that grumpy cat face. You said it yourself. I mean, you had to remind the listeners that didn't listen to our pre-show. If they paid for premium, they would have
heard. I was thinking about the gold listeners. They're the only ones that matter.
We'll have gold.
We're not allowed to call it gold. There's copyright issues there. So
The myrrh listeners.
Yeah. The mill iron stilling sterling silver.
Yeah.
So I have the War Machine, and this is for Luis Castillo, because he currently, and I wit, you can just turn off your headphones now if you want, but his WAR right now is 2.3, which is actually fourth in the National League for all players and number one for all pitchers in the National League. So it just goes to show how valuable he's been for the Reds right now. I was actually surprised at how high it was for him, but there's one or two other pitchers right behind him, but it's nice to see him get up there on that stat, because that's a big stat that a lot of people look at nowadays.
It's so funny to think that, you know, after this amazing start he's been off to, that when he got announced as the opening day starter, people were like, really? Castillo?
Marty in particular was like, he's too young and inexperienced.
He's been great. Yeah. It reminds me of when Cueto blew up on the scene. Oh, granted, Cueto hadn't been up here for a couple years like Castillo has been. But I remember when Cueto came up and he had, like, what, that three-hit shutout or whatever it was. Or I don't know if he went to a complete game. It was, like, the second or third game of the season. I guess it was the third game because it was a day game. I forget what the situation was. But I remember him pitching during the day when we were in college and him just mowing people down.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of Cueto's first season where he's just – people cannot hit him. And granted, Cueto, he was good until, I mean, now he's just kind of fat and gets hurt all the time. But Castillo has been around, so it's not like this is the first time people are seeing him like it was with Cueto. So it's really impressive what he's been doing. And then my last one is the He's Actually a Good Guy Award. And this goes to Derek Dietrich, just because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy you'd like when you just look at him. He looks like he'd almost be like a diva or like the villain in a baseball movie. Like, he'd almost be like the guy that doesn't want to run out the ground ball in a baseball movie until the one hurt guy runs out a ground ball and shows the team, hey, I'm doing it, why doesn't he do it, type of deal. Or, like, you know, he's pretty soft-spoken. He seems to really appreciate the opportunity. With, I mean, he's from Ohio, so he knows the history, the how much baseball means to this area of the state. And he just has fun when he's playing the game and not in an obnoxious way, unless you're, you know, Chris Archer. But, like, he just – no, I've never – you know, Puig always gets a bad rap around baseball, like – just because a lot of people that don't really know, like, watch him in and out, they're like, oh, he's a cancer. Nobody likes him. Like, I saw CBS Sports today said, Puig isn't, like, it's not just players on other teams. It's players in his clubhouse, too. But, like, all you hear is, like, how great of a teammate he is. Like, how much and Votto have fun with each other. You see him celebrating literally everything that happens good for his team. Like, you can't tell me that the guy's a clubhouse cancer here. He may have had moments when he was younger in L.A., but that doesn't seem to be the case here.
I mean, he tried to fight the entire Pirates team on behalf of his teammates.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, don't ever try to say Puig hasn't been, at least, you know, his heart isn't with this team, or he's not trying to, you know, be a good teammate. But Dietrich is just, like, literally the only people I've ever heard say anything bad about him this season were the Pirates fans on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Or that whole, you know. After he hit his first ball into the river, standing there watching it. And then when he hit the second one, it was like, I wish, you're going to find me hanging. Don't ask me to do nothing. The dishes, nothing. Oh, God. That's probably what that guy was doing. Although he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so he's probably a Yankees baseball fan.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't realize the Pirates have a team. I don't know if they get root sports in that part of West Virginia, but but yeah, so Derek Dietrich, he kind of looks like a guy that you wouldn't like just because, you know, like I said, for everything I said, he looks like he'd be a villain in a baseball movie, but he might be. I mean, I don't know if there's any indication, but he seems like he might be one of the nicest guys on the team. I don't know. There doesn't seem like there's many actual true, like, assholes on this team.
Joey's Canadian, so he's clearly the nicest.
I'm trying to think of anybody that looks like they'd be a hard.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably someone in the bullpen's an asshole. Hernandez seems like a nice guy, but he looks like he could be a dickhead if he wanted to be.
Pitchers are always assholes.
They're just weird. They're just weird creatures. Like,
Jared Hughes is weird as shit.
Jared Hughes reminds me not so much looks. And maybe it's the sprinting thing, but he looks like the dude from Angels in the Outfield, like running into the pitcher's mound that slides into the pitcher's mound when he comes into game. But no, I always think, like, I always picture, you know, closers and late inning relief pitchers almost like they're so quirky and very, you know, they're almost like goalies. Or
say they're like goalies or kickers,
yeah. Like, and I don't know. It just seems like they would have, like, maybe they're not dickheads, but they're just a little quirky and they come off that way.
They're just misunderstood.
That's right. You know, if you get to know them.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice. That was a little throwback. It almost felt like some one of our fantasy drafts that we used to do. Yeah. You know, for people that listened to the first go around with a podcast here, we did fantasy drafts that would usually last 6.5 hours. And, we're crazy to edit because that was before we could hold our tongue or bite our tongue a little bit better than we do now. Or, you know, just never mind. I'm not even gonna say it. Because, you know, we're a bunch of one take Jakes over here. So
that's right.
Editing.
So the other thing that we were planning on talking about tonight was some departures from UC basketball program.
But we're not gonna. So have a good night. Oh, sorry.
All right.
I'm 513A, no less.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm not introing it again. I'm going to pout.
Like, literally, like, the UC basketball team is not going to look anything like it did at the end of last season. They were only losing two guys to graduation, possibly Cumberland now to the D League or G League, whatever they call it.
He's testing the draft waters. I don't know. He might get drafted in the second round. I really don't know. So the rules now for the NBA is that you're allowed to hire an agent and, you know, to get you through the draft process. And then, you know, if you decide, you can pull your name out of the draft after the fact if you don't think you're going to get drafted and come back to the school. But I don't know that Cumberland will do that. Nysir Brooks ended up entering the transfer portal. Logan Johnson, who was a freshman, ended up going to the portal, and then they lost Kane Broom and what was the other little point guard's name? Justin Jennifer. Justin they were Jennifer, both, they both yeah, both guards are graduating. So team's going to be a lot different. I think John Brandon really has his work cut out for him, because I don't know that they're going to be a good team with the talent that he currently has. It's going to take him a while to recruit the style of players he likes, because right now he's got all of Cronin's guys, and Brandon plays a completely different style of basketball than Cronin did, where he wanted Cronin wanted defenders and Brandon wants high up-tempo offense. So I think it's going to take him a few years to get his feet under him at UC. So we might be in for a rough couple of years, fellas.
So do you think some of the guys, like the guys entering the transfer portal, I mean, do you think that's a result of Brandon coming in? Or
so they're not, like, following Cronin. You know, they're not going to UCLA. Nysir Brooks ended up going somewhere closer to home, and I think Logan Johnson did too, where they're originally from. So I don't know if they just wanted to get closer to family or really what the deal is. But I think that it's to be expected that, you know, after you kind of feel out what the new coach is bringing to the table, that you're going to lose some guys if they don't feel like they have a spot on the team next year, if they don't think that they fit the way that Brandon is going to coach. So I think it's expected to happen. Sure. So I think, you see this a little bit, like Chris Mack actually had a really good year his first year in Louisville, which is not par for the course when it comes to like coaches taking over bigger programs.
Sure.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Brandon, but I'm not expecting a ton from his first year.
Yeah, and Brooks went, I think he ended up Miami of Florida, correct? Is that where he ended up?
So I guess it's not close to home. He's from New Jersey.
But, you know, he'll play in the ACC, so he'll play more games up that way, I guess, closer to home. But no, I didn't know where he was from, but he, I guess, I don't know anything about Miami basketball, but a lot of the guys, they might be transferring to better situations where they feel like they fit in better. Whereas I don't know, Nysir Brooks doesn't necessarily fit a run and gun style game. I don't know about anything about the other guys really, as far as, you know, we don't know where they're going to end up still. So we don't know what their decision was or reason.
Logan Johnson didn't play a ton. I mean, he was a freshman and he would play some crunch time defensive minutes, but I mean,
he was never
10 minutes a game tops.
And I forget his name. He went to Moeller. He was at Hargrave Military Academy the last couple of years, but he's committed to UC.
Yeah.
So they got him coming back.
Yeah.
He's staying. And after they lost, the heck was the kid's name from Xenia?
Cumberland? Jaron?
No, he's Wilmington. The kid that hits Mr. Ohio. Just, he was a senior in high school this year.
I remember we talked about him.
Yeah, we talked about him earlier. He was their top recruit, and he's going somewhere else now. He decided to reopen his recruiting. So it's to be expected. I don't know. I think UC was hoping
Curtis.
Yes, thank you. I think UC was hoping that maybe hiring a local guy that maybe they had kind of crossed paths with during any of the summer league type stuff they do around here, that maybe some familiarity or like the opportunity to play for a guy that's going to get you scoring may have, you know, kept some of those guys around. But it's the cost of doing business when you can't keep your head coach. You know, you're going to lose some big recruits. You're going to lose some guys that are eligible to transfer. And
it's crazy to me, and I don't want to get too much into it because I'm sure we could spend a ton of time on it, but just how much in college sports in general you're seeing kids use a transfer portal now. I feel like you never used to hear about it, but it's even, especially this past year, all over football guys are transferring. It's hitting UC in basketball. I'm sure there's other basketball programs where it's the same way, and it's just you just never used to hear about that. So I don't know if it's
I think looser lips or like more people have access to the actual, I don't know if it was always done the way it's done now. So like,
I think it is more open now to,
yeah,
because you can just go in there and see who puts their name in, I think, now.
Yep. Well, that's the crazy thing too, is some of the, like Justin Fields and a couple other, like what's his name from Tate Martell,
yeah,
from Ohio State, like it sounds like, and I don't won't ever we might not know really exactly what happened. It sounded like he didn't want to deal with this quarterback competition, so he went somewhere he knew he could play right away. And so it's like, oh, like you get granted your release, you can go play, be eligible right away. There was a guy from, I forget where it was, he was trying to transfer closer to home, and he had actually like taken almost a step down and in like program quality. I forget who it was, because his mom had some sort of rare brain cancer or something. Mm-hmm. And the NCAA denied his request for immediate eligibility because they said that by all accounts, it looked like her condition had been improving over recent months.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Jesus, so this guy doesn't want to play in a school where he might not start, but this guy is trying to be closer to home to help his family during all this stuff going on with his parents. And they're like, no, sorry, buddy, that's not going to work.
But because, I mean, you're going to see this start to really hurt some teams, because Ohio State lost another quarterback to it after Fields came in. So if Fields gets hurt, they've got nothing. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot more teams in that position, because you get a guy who's got some talent, doesn't want to, you know, wait it out and sit behind somebody, transfer somebody else somewhere else, and you got nothing left there. But it's, I mean, there's two sides to the argument, because I mean, if it's in the best interest of the kids, you don't want to hold them back. But I don't know. Like I said, it's something you could probably debate for a long time. I don't know what the right answer is. It's just, I think it's interesting to see it happening so much more now.
Yep. Yeah, like granted immediate playing, like being able to be eligible like immediately. Like I felt like that was never the case.
Oh yeah.
And then they introduced the grad transfer rule, which allowed you to play, which got you see like three or four guys on football. Like
yeah.
Pretty like Ben Mock was here for 15 years on that transfer rule, and or the Ben Mock, yeah, Matty Mock was his brother that went to Missouri, right? I can't remember which one was which, but yeah, now it's like guys are eligible immediately, and I guess it's because the school signs. So I guess it's one of those deals, if the school's willing to sign them off, like saying like, all right, you're good to go, release them from their scholarship obligation, then they can be on their way. But
what was the Duke basketball player that I hated that went to Syracuse to quarterback?
Greg Paulus.
Yeah, Paulus. Well, now
you can,
I hated
him. You can do that. That's always interesting to see when guys do that immediately, when it's like they've finished their career as a football player and it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything in the NBA or in the NFL. So I'm a really good pitcher, so I'll go play baseball for a couple years at this at the school where basketball. But yeah, Paulus, like, he's the assistant coach. Is he at Ohio State still?
Yeah, he ended up on Ohio. I don't know if he still is, but I know at one point he ended up on Ohio State's coaching staff for a little while.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But it was funny to hold the graduate transfer thing. That's how Dan Dockich's kid went from Michigan to Ohio State, which is an interesting jump to make.
Yeah. Dan Dockich is just, you could just say everything about that guy is interesting, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
But, right.
I guess that's what happens when you spend all those years around Bobby Knight.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But I don't know. We have anything else that we need to grace the listeners with? Anything exciting? Quick reaction. Everybody will go Jeff, Dan, Witt, me, this homestand. What's the record for the Reds at the end of the homestand?
How many games they playing?
6.
I'll say 4-6. I mean, they're going to win 4 of the 6 games. You know what I meant. They're going to win 4 games.
Oh, I almost passed out.
Oh, man.
They're going to win 4 games.
I'm going to say 5-5.
God damn it, I hate you guys.
I'll say 5-1. They're gonna turn it around.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying 2-0.
Oh shit!
I think they go 3-3. I think they go 500.
I can't decide between 2-4 and 3-3, so I'm gonna just be optimistic. I'll go 3-3. I'm gonna get 3-3. Just
6-7.
I said, they probably go 1-2 against the Cubs and go 2-1 against the Dodgers. But yeah,
turn it around, man. This is the series, I hope so. Right here.
I really hope so. They got it.
It is getting colder, so at least I got that right.
Yeah, they got that May cold front. It is. You're still correct.
It is getting colder, so at least I got that right.
Yeah.
Bam.
That's what's holding Scooter back right now is
41 tonight for the low.
Oh, man.
I'm done.
Love you, Jeff. Never change.
It's not so much to how he said it. Like, it was just like, I don't know. Like, it was like, I think you needed to see him. Like, yeah. I don't know why. Sorry for everybody out there that didn't get to see his beautiful face say it. But it was like you could see his, he realized the mistake he made as he was saying it and couldn't stop himself. Like, probably sleep deprived right now. So we'll give him a break.
I came home sick today, too.
Aw, poor baby. Hepatitis flaring up again.
Yep. Walked into the wrong Gold Star again.
All right. Thanks for listening. And you had to wait 45 minutes to get a laugh, but you got one.
Yeah. We're all about that big payoff at the end.
That's right.
See you guys next week.
Hefe's money shot.
All right, follow us on Twitter. You got Evil Hungry Hefe. You got my name is Jeff.
Is it still Evil Hungry Hefe?
Yeah, it's still Evil Hungry. It really messed with me the one time when somebody liked it. I'm like, Evil Hungry. And then I looked and it's like, that's Witt's picture.
It still throws me off too. I'm like, why am I that? Oh, yeah.
That's
I'm
right.
An idiot. All right. See you guys.
See you later.